Opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
I am ready to fight like hell one more day. Fight like hell one more day. One day longer, one day stronger. Fight like hell.
With temps outside rising, we've got a hot show for you today on Today in Philly Labor. Coming up in hour number one, State Rep-elect Joanna McClinton from the 191st will join us. She'll check in with us today. From Teamsters 830, their leader, Danny Grace, will be along to talk about the City of Hope. He's being honored and doing some great work, so we hope to get Danny Grace on the phone with us here in hour number one as well. And what's going on with the Merck Union Chief and CEO Ken Frazier? We'll talk about that today as well. Today in Philly Labor, with an eye on union-made products, starts now.
May I have your attention, please?
It's now time for Today in Philly Labor with President of the Philadelphia Council, AFL-CIO, Pat Iding, Joe Dock Jr., and Joe Krause, live from the WWDB studios. And now, here are your hosts, Pat Iding, Joe Dock Jr., and Joe Krause.
And a good Wednesday afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Today in Philly Labor, as we've got an energized August show for you today, broadcasting from the WWDB studios here in Ballykin, with thanks to all of our listeners for being a part of the great program. Pat Iding in the studio today, our gracious host, returns. Nice to have you back, man. Seems like you run a long journey to Alaska. I'm glad you're back in. How are you, sir?
It's great to be back. I miss you. You know, you get used to being someplace all the time, and something interrupts it, whether it's a good thing or interrupts it or not, you miss it. And you know, last week I know that we were all kind of on among the missing someplace, but you know, Joe and Joe, there's always something going on. There's nothing. There's the summer. As we talk about the summer break, fortunately, we've all been able to get a day off or so. But the work still goes on. The issues are still here. You know, we can't forget about the fact that we had a great election. We had some winners in the election, but even where we lost, we had a winner in the 161st. It's a kind of a crazy year for elections because at a special dates and those things. But, you know, the main focus still has to be on the Supreme Court and, of course, Jim Kenney becoming our mayor. And mm-hmm. a lot of people who I hope don't just come to the conclusion he's already the mayor and not use their right to vote, because that would be a tragedy and a shame. And, you know, as Jim Kenney spoke to us today, and with me today, by the way, I have Veronica Araska.
Bianca Orozco.
I got the back part right and the front part right. Bianca is with us today. She's actually shadowing me, and unfortunately she won that. But it's been an interesting day, and Bianca goes to Kensington High. She's a senior, right?
Yeah.
And had an opportunity to meet possibly the new mayor of Philadelphia not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was interesting, right?
Yeah, I'm enjoying this experience a lot right now.
So tell us a little bit about how you got to be following Pat Iding all over the place.
Well, we had an expo at the convention center, I think, last Thursday. And we were, we had a campaign for anti-bullying that we needed to try to win a grant to keep that campaign going. We didn't win, unfortunately. We had to present in front of four judges on a stage, which was pretty nerve-wracking at the beginning, but we kept trying. Yeah, we kept trying, and it was a pretty good experience. You know, I realized that, you know, though you try hard, there are a lot of opportunities out there, and I'm trying really hard to take advantage of all of those experiences.
And if you take them all and add them up, they're great experiences that are going to really help you, you know, someday that you'll hopefully, whatever your goals are, have a family or whatever. But when you look back and see those experiences, they're not only good experiences because of the people you're with, but also the education you get out of it. So it's great. Now, I think that expo was run by the Youth Network.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have the Work Ready program that you and I talked about a little bit in the car, where folks both – now it's all the way down to sophomores, but folks come out of high school, Philadelphia High School, and they go to work for different companies. And the Youth Network, which is part of our workforce, Philadelphia Works Board, they're able to put somewhere between 7,000 and 10,000 young folks to work with companies for 2 months in the summer. And it's a great experience. And I have to tell you, this this mayor has been fantastic in supporting that effort. And the Youth Network does a great job. And so, but you know, you got to at least get this opportunity through that expo, even though you weren't one of the one of the interns through the youth the Work Ready program. So I'm glad you got here anyway.
Let me ask you a question, Vianca. Tell me about the anti-bullying platform that you guys presented, because I know, and I mean, obviously with young people, you know, that can be prevalent. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what your input was.
Okay, well, during last school year, we had afternoon classes, anti-bullying classes, with Richard Washington. During the time in which we learned how to, like, the signs of bullying, and we learned that though people might not talk about or want to talk about bullying, it's really good to try and have the resources in order to help victims of bullying and things like that. Currently, we are trying to have a trend, an anti-bullying trend on, like, social media. Mm-hmm. It's hashtag an I for an I, the letters N-I-N-I,
okay.
Stops here. We're currently getting that trending on Facebook. We're trying to get that trending on Instagram and Twitter and things like that, because teenagers nowadays tend to use social media a lot more. And though they might not want to speak verbally about their experiences if being bullied, if they have been bullied, we believe that, you know, with this getting trended, people might want to engage a little more and might want to actually help others who are being bullied.
All right. Good stuff, Vianca. Well done, and welcome into our studio for the next 2 hours. We'll broadcast to you live here on Today in Philly Labor. Part of your experience. Thanks very much. You sound great on the radio.
Thank you.
Don't know how you did on the stage in front of four judges, but in front of the entire Delaware Valley, I thought you just did a fantastic job. So well done. Jay Doc is here before we go to commercial break. He's back from his week in vacation, where he was seen wearing at least 75 SPF, because you don't have any sun from the beach, brother. But welcome back, man. Nice to have you in here.
It feels fantastic to be back. I really, really needed to get away. Me and my wife went down to Cape May, and
you can actually see the beach from where you were. Right?
Oh yeah, let me tell you something. We planted ourselves, but we were under an umbrella.
Okay.
So when I had like all the sunblock on, my wife just, you know, it was like one of those sprays, and she scoured me with it. But a fantastic week. I was excited to be down there, but I'm excited to be back crossing.
All right. 888-329-3306. 888-329-3306. 888-329-3306 are the phone numbers. We'll give them out randomly over the next 2 hours when we come back after our first commercial break. We'll get you up to speed and get you updated about the 28th annual Tri-State Labor Day parade. We'll start to provide all the details about that. Big, big deal going on, and we'll also find out what's on Pat Eiting's agenda when we come back. Stay with us, everyone.
Guess who's looking to invest $1 billion in Philadelphia? IBEW Local 98. One of Local 98's first investments was in the Commonwealth, a premier residence in the historic Commonwealth Title and Trust Building of 1902. Local 98 also has a 51% ownership in 2116 Chestnut, luxury high-rise apartments that were built by unions on time and on budget. And IBEW Local 98 is also looking to invest in the redevelopment of Girard Square at 12th and Market, which is slated to be reborn as a 5-story retail destination with 2 much-needed hotels and a few state-of-the-art digital billboards. Looking forward, Local 98 is seeking to invest in a new data center, a small power plant, and the growing Navy Yard.
Hi, this is John Doherty, business manager of Local 98. We live in this city and invest in it because Philly deserves top quality union projects built by residents who pay their taxes.
With over half a century of support for labor union organizations, M&T Bank wants you to know what they can do for you. Are you a building and construction trade union in the Philadelphia area? If so, contact M&T Bank. Are you an industrial union or public service employee union in the Philadelphia area? If so, contact M&T Bank. Are you part of an apprentice training program or perhaps a union benefit funds office? If so, contact M&T Bank. To learn more about their full line of financial services that are tailored for labor union organizations just like yours, contact Bill Wecklock at 610-520-8459. M&T Bank, understanding what's important to the labor union community.
Getting hurt on the job can mean broken dreams, fractured hopes, shattered lives. Turn to Pond Lee Hockey, the workers' compensation law firm. They'll take on the insurance companies and employers, reverse the wrongs, and put your life back together again. Pond Lee Hockey. Call 800-568-7500. That's 800-568-7500.
Whether it's a high-rise commercial building, a residential development, or an industrial project, the highly skilled workforce of Sheet Metal Workers Local 19 get the job done right and on time the first time. From heating, ventilating, and air conditioning to the installation and fabrication of all sheet metal products to providing service technicians for commercial, industrial, and residential HVAC needs, Local 19 members are the highest skilled and best trained craftsmen in the industry who are committed to providing their signatory contractors and end users with maximum results. Serving 23 counties throughout Pennsylvania as well as New Jersey and Delaware, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19 are proud members of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council.
Has your home or business been damaged by a recent storm and you're left to deal with the insurance company to make things right? Turn to Apple Public Adjusters and meet owners Patrick O'Donnell and Mark Stendardo. If you've suffered recent storm damage to your home or business, call 267-538-3373. That's 267-538-3373. And protect your rights and maximize your benefits. Incredible amount of snow, ice, and frigid temperatures forcing the entire Delaware Valley into action. IBEW Local Union 614 was there and will always be there, helping others, our neighbors, in time of need. Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and support the IBEW Local Union 614. They provide safety so you can value your life. IBEW Local 614. Visit them on the web at 614IBEW.com.
Local 614 is a utility local representing members employed by Exelon Pico Energy and Veolia Energy.
The 40-hour work week, overtime pay, a minimum wage, weekends like this one, all that didn't happen by accident. It happened because America's workers organized for it.
And welcome back, everyone, to Today in Philly Labor in the studio with Bianca joining us for the first hour of the broadcast, along with our gracious host, Pat Iden, and, of course, J-Doc returning from his successful trip to Cape May. I'm Joe Krause as we bring you the Today in Philly Labor show every Wednesday, noon to 2 p.m., the summer of 2015, all powered by M&T Bank. We thank Rick Bertino and Bill Wecklock for being a part of our entire program with M&T Bank here on 860 AM WWDB. Pat, a lot going on in your world, man. People are still vacationing, but with the parade coming up and a lot happening out there as well.
You know what? You're absolutely right, Joe. There's things happening every day, and as much as we like our days off, when we come back, we still have to hit the ground running. And, you know, there's the budget. We know the situation with the budget is not good. We need this budget. We need it like we need to breathe the air, because we have the school system that needs so much help. You know, as Secretary of Labor Kathy Mandarino says, we need this budget so we can get people to work, to get some jobs, and you know, you have all kinds of things that are going to be not so much terminated, but they're going to be stopped for a while if we don't get this budget. And you know, the governor says that he knows there's room for, he knows they need some compromise, and I know he's a smart man, but you can't compromise if folks don't want to sit down and talk. And you know, this whole thing that's going on in the whole country and happening in our state about no, no, no doesn't get anything accomplished. And so it's very important that we get the budget. Now, we've had some successes. You know, we recently had on the, I guess it was the 11th of August, we had a special election. You know, it was an odd time. It was hard to draw some people out. But I will tell you, we were very successful. You know, we had three candidates for state house that the state and our council endorsed, and we worked very hard, and they were successful. Out in the 161st, out in Delaware County, we supported Paul, who was the Republican candidate, who was a member of the IBEW, was our candidate. But I have to tell you, Leanna Kruger-Bernansky, who won the Democratic side, is not going to hurt us. She's good people. I work with her in Philadelphia here for the Sustainable Business Network. That she did a great job pulling that thing from the start, and it's still a very active organization here in Philadelphia, very involved with green jobs and those kinds of things. So she'll be an asset for working people up in Harrisburg. So that's one of those cases where we lost, but we didn't lose totally, because we still have Paul as a labor leader who is a great labor leader as far as I'm concerned. He'll do great work out there in Delaware County. And, you know, in our world, some you win, some you lose, but you always know you have to be focused on working people and keeping yourself together. So hopefully we'll have a phone call today from Joanna McClinton from the 191st. She was very successful there. Ed Nielsen won in the 174th. That was another election. It was a special date. And Donna Bullock in the 195th. So we have some good things happening, and hopefully we'll be able to build on that.
We talked and led up to that special out of the way or odd day for an election. Tuesday, August 11th. And again, Joanna McClinton will be joining us here, J-Doc, momentarily, and we'll bring her in and get her results and get how she feels about what her first steps will be.
Absolutely, and certainly, like we've spoken here, we've worked really hard to promote that election, because that was half the battle. But at the same time, it was, you know, President of the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO, Rick Blumendale, and Secretary Treasurer Frank Snyder, who was on the phone, on the program recently. You know, they not only sent their congratulations out to the candidates and to the winners, but also to the hardworking union people in the city, including, and he quoted the Philadelphia Council, AFL-CIO, and President Pat Iding and the staff for working so hard to create awareness for this particular election. I mean, how many times do we ever have in the dead of the summer, in the middle, during the vacation season to the max, an election like this? So,
but Joe, that wasn't by coincidence. That was by design. You know, the folks who think they can win election by administering things in a different fashion, you know, pull an election and a date when they think nobody's going to come out. But listen, in spite of that, hard work always wins, as far as I'm concerned. That's where we come from. We're hard workers. And our people worked hard. The votes that come out were pretty obviously going to be the votes we needed for our candidates, because we were the people working hardest.
Well, and that's the thing. We never get the opportunity to take a day off, you know, real and sincerely, like Pat, you know, come back from vacation, but they're hitting the ground running. They're there all, you know, every day, understanding what an important election this is. And, you know, there's three candidates there that were really important to us, the AFL-CIO endorsed state house candidates. And we didn't let our guard down. We take nothing for granted in labor, and these are the results.
I want to circle back to the budget, because you mentioned it and you brought it up, the importance of trying to bring some resolution or some closure to that. Tom Wolf went on a Pittsburgh radio station, KDKA Radio, this morning and actually made a reference that he was willing to compromise to try and bring an end or try and bring an end to the budget impasse. But there seems to be more resistance than perhaps I can remember, Pat. And I just don't know if at the end, do you see success? I mean, you always want to go through life and see success. What does success look like when we're dealing with a situation? Well, in this particular case, we want a budget that's going to find compromise and find closure. Is it reality, or are we at a big impasse?
I think that it's reality. There's going to be a budget. Eventually, there's going to be a budget, good, bad, or ugly. But I think what the folks listening to us need to do is get involved. I mean, everybody listening has some event in this budget that's important to them, whether it's the schools that we're trying to make better. And I have to tell you, I talked before about how going into the schools will make you cry, some of these schools. Whether it's jobs, that somebody needs a job. And, you know, we work in the workforce investment, those kinds of things, to try to educate people for jobs. There's something out there that everybody listening needs. So my suggestion is, and I said this before, it doesn't matter whether your representative is a Democrat or Republican. Once they're elected, they're your representative. And if they think anything otherwise, then they're not doing their job. So my suggestion is, please pick up the phone, call your state senator, call your state representative, and say, listen, get to the table and let's get something done. Yeah, you know, this governor started out, by the way, in the very early days of his administration. People will forget these kinds of things, but Corbett made all kinds of appointments right before he left. And, you know, when Wolf came on, he knocked them off. You know, that's the political way. It wasn't long later that Wolf started to rescind some of those knockoffs, not the least of being Jim Crowley, who was appointed to the Temple Board of Trustees. You know, he got knocked off. But Governor Wolf looked at it and said, well, listen, you know, we got to start out on the right foot, a little compromise. You know, so he got put back on that. There were a couple other people that were knocked off politically, and the governor rescinded that and put them back on it. That's the kind of thing we need to sit down now. The governor's willing to talk about some things, but, you know, this group, similar to what Corbett was, know this and know that, and it won't be any of this and it won't be any of that. I think, listen, I don't know what the number is because I'm not as smart as the rest of the world, but I know there's a compromise number to tax the shale, the drilling and the shale. I don't know what that is, but certainly they owe the folks in this state a little bit more than they're given. As everybody else, there's other things that we're all willing to give up on to make sure our kids have a decent school to go to. They have some counselors. They have some things there. We don't have that now. The facilities that the kids are going to school with are terrible. I mean, they're just – I can't emphasize enough. Most times you wouldn't go into those buildings. You have no reason to go into those buildings the way they are. But you know, our kids are going to school there. We got to make it better. There's a load of people out of work. I mean, but look at the city of Philadelphia. And you start talking about the national unemployment being 5-point-something. If you take the folks who, first of all, if there's dropouts in the city of Philadelphia, that's more like 30% unemployment. High school graduates, it's probably more like 20-some percent unemployment that's going on right now in the city. I mean, with all the things and opportunities we have, once we get the budget, we can start moving forward on some of that stuff. All this does is hold everything else that we see as good and better for our people in the city of Philadelphia. It's just so many things that I come across every day, you know, whether it's SEPTA trying to advance the, you know, the rails and those kinds of things that make it better for the citizens, whether it's workforce investment trying to get some folks to jobs, a collaboration, if you will, with the energy people to try to make sure that if we're going to have some sort of an energy hub here in Philadelphia, we make sure the folks in Philadelphia get some jobs. That's all going on, but you wouldn't believe, I guess folks don't realize, something like this budget holds all that up. It holds all the meaningful, proactive discussions up because everybody's afraid they don't know which way they're going to go.
Well, you know, what you talk, Pat, the first thing you said was understanding that, you know, the powers that be have to understand that this is about, you know, the people in the state of Pennsylvania. problem I have is that the gridlock and partisan Republican attitude, talking about the Mike Terzies and the ultimatums we get about liquor privatization. We're not budging unless that happens. Like Pat said, we're talking about the education of our kids, the facilities. We're talking about pensions. We're talking and you look at the governor and he quotes. He says, "It seems like I've made concessions on everything, and I've been compromising and reaching out, trying to move, and I've gotten nothing from the other side." And that's a major problem because it seems like the other side is not operating. They have their own agenda, and that agenda is their agenda. They're forgetting who they represent, and there has to be the governor's made concessions. He's worked really hard, and he sees little movement from the Republican legislators. So
just take the pension for example. He claims, and I have to believe him because he's the kind of person I don't think would publicly lie, that he's granted 80% of what the other side wants in the pension proposals. 80%. That's a big give back. And, of course, he's standing there in defense and trying to protect the pensions for people, at the same time trying to get a budget done. And these people in return just won't talk about it. I mean, it's either my way or the highway with these folks. And, they spend more time, unfortunately, not only here in Pennsylvania, but on a national level. They spend more time trying to develop bills that are against working people. I mean, trying to destroy unions, trying to destroy people's right to have collective bargaining. There's more effort in the national organizations, both the Senate and the House, to try to do something to destroy working people's rights than there is anything else they're doing.
And think about it for a second. Makes sense to me. Historically, labor unions support Democratic candidates, of course, and I'm talking about as a whole, that Democratic candidates come and they get their funding from labor unions, theoretically, if we're going to stereotype and lay it out there. So what a better way for the right wing to get rid of their competition and get rid of the entities that help fuel them.
Just to provide some clarity, it's the second consecutive month without a state budget, and the individuals out there who don't read the newspaper or don't stay up to speed on what's actually happening with the budget are starting to wonder if month two is going to become month three, and then what happens if that does occur. And at some point, Pat, where is the, where does the fire alarm go off and the bells start ringing and we start, it moves from where it is in conversation to becoming just a full-blown major story where there's implications happening by the hour.
The sad part about that, Joe, is that unfortunately those bells won't go off and those things won't go off until people start feeling the crunch. And it's always the folks who work every day and just trying to make a living and take care of their family. When they start feeling the crunch, whether it's jobs that aren't available or whatever the case may be, I mean, everybody's got to understand it. The budget, it affects so many things in the state that all of a sudden things start shutting down and people aren't either, maybe it's not directly hired by the government, but they're not getting this or they're not getting that, or maybe they're getting laid off because some company they work for is depending on some sort of influence of monies, those kinds of things. There's something that's going to affect the working people eventually, and it's a shame that we have to go that far before the bells start going off. I mean, if you look at this comment from Jay Corman, the proposals so far that fall far short of anything we would accept. Well, then let's sit down and talk about what would you accept.
My brother-in-law said to me this weekend, we were having a discussion about it, actually in Cape May, J. Doc, sitting on the front porch of my mother-in-law's home. My brother-in-law said to me, this is the end. This is the end of the liquor stores as we know them today. Privatization is going to be the end result of what's happening here. And until that actually occurs, there's no way out unless that occurs.
Okay.
That's the give that they want, privatization of the liquor stores. Now that's just one gentleman. That's just one
that's
man's
right.
opinion. That's just one man's opinion. But that's starting to be what public perception is listening.
Let me jump on that. Here's what I say. We had when Danny Batter and we was in the studio and we had this conversation. look, what the Republicans want in Harrisburg, for the most part, is they want us to feel the heat, they want us to feel the pressure, and have to fold. And fold to give 5,000 job, hardworking people who are, you know, have family-sustaining jobs, to give them up. This is just my opinion. Pat, I don't know the last time it is, I don't know, I can't remember, when it's lasted this long. But at the end of, a budget, and I don't know, maybe you remember, a time when it extended this far, but let me just say one thing. Obviously, just like everybody, want this budget to be passed, but not at the expense of thousands and thousands of hardworking people. And just because we're getting the pressure of the time, don't get me wrong. We don't want anybody to lose a job because of the extended. But if they're putting us in a bad position, they're putting us in a bad position. We have to, the governor's making concessions, doing what he's got to do. He's got to draw a line somewhere. And we support him in representing Pennsylvanians.
Well, it's a double. Okay. So that, Joe, was back in Rendell's administration. There was an extension. I don't remember how far it went. I'd have to look it up to see. But you had better discussion then. You didn't have this, superiority complex that these Republicans have, these far-right Republicans. But I know there's Republicans there that want to get this thing done. And, what we need to do is support those folks that want to get some discussion going, support the Republicans from our area, like DeGeronimo and Taylor. I know they want to get a budget. And then we have to force the other people who just, for some reason or other, this privatization is blinded by the fact that they just want it. Not because it's a good thing. They just want it. And it's the same thing with the pensions. They have yet to try to do anything to fix the pension, but cut it in half. And unfortunately, that's where we are.
Wake up, Delaware Valley. A lot to talk about and a lot to do. From your seat, get involved, as Pat Iding said. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, more conversation on the topic. Update on the 28th Annual Tri-State Labor Day Parade and Family Celebration. That's scheduled for Monday, September 7th, if you can believe it, only a couple weeks away. Stay with us, everyone. On the job and your family depends on you. In this day and age, with the cards stacked in the insurance company's favor, you need the best representation possible to protect your rights in order to obtain your workers' compensation benefits. Turn to the workers' compensation law firm of Larry Pitt and Associates. With decades of experience and a track record of success that is second to none, the attorneys at Larry Pitt and Associates will fight hard to ensure that your rights are protected and you receive the workers' compensation benefits you deserve. If you've been injured on the job, call 1-888-PITT-LAW. That's 1-888-748-8529 and protect your rights and benefits.
Today in Philly Labor congratulates Larry Pitt for being recognized by the Workers' Injury Law and Advocacy Group as one of the nation's top injured workers' attorneys of 2014. Tune in every Wednesday from noon to 2 p.m. for Today in Philly Labor presented by PNC Bank and join in the conversation by calling during the show at 888-329-3306. Today in Philly Labor Radio presented by PNC Bank.
We are the Newspaper Guild of Greater Philadelphia, working and striving to bring you the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philadelphia Daily News, and Philly.com. We are the Delaware County Times, the Pottstown Mercury, and the Norristown Times-Herald. We are the Trentonian, and we are Philiposh. We represent you and the communities we serve. We are the Restaurant Opportunity Centers, helping to train restaurant workers in 7 U.S. cities. We are you.
You do it for your family.
Daddy's home!
You work hard. Always get the job done.
Nice job, Bill.
But everything changes after a work injury. If you get hurt on the job, call Pond Lehocky, the workers' compensation law firm. They take on the insurance companies and employers, reverse the wrongs, and put your life back together again. Pond Lehocky. Call 800-568-7500. 800-568-7500.
Whether it's a high-rise commercial building, a residential development, or an industrial project, the highly skilled workforce of sheet metal workers Local 19 get the job done right and on time the first time. From heating, ventilating, and air conditioning to the installation and fabrication of all sheet metal products to providing service technicians for commercial, industrial, and residential HVAC needs, Local 19
members are the highest skilled and best trained craftsmen in the industry who are committed to providing their signatory contractors and end users with maximum results. Serving 23 counties throughout Pennsylvania as well as New Jersey and Delaware, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19 are proud members of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council.
Has your home or business been damaged by a recent storm and you're left to deal with the insurance company to make things right? Turn to Apple Public Adjusters and meet owners Patrick O'Donnell and Mark Stendardo. If you've suffered recent storm damage to your home or business, call 267-538-3373. That's 267-538-3373. And protect your rights and maximize your benefits. Incredible amount of snow, ice, and frigid temperatures forcing the entire Delaware Valley into action. IBEW Local Union 614 was there and will always be there, helping others, our neighbors, in time of need. Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and support the IBEW Local Union 614. They provide safety so you can value your life. IBEW Local 614. Visit them on the web at 614IBEW.com.
Local 614 is a utility local representing members employed by Exelon Pico Energy and Veolia Energy.
People are hurting right now all over the place, but it is absolutely ridiculous that we can live in this town and one out of four people can be hungry every day. And that just drives me crazy, and I'm going to do something about it.
And I'm proud to be an American.
And welcome back, everyone, to Today in Philly Labor, live on a Wednesday afternoon. Remember, Today in Philly Labor comes to you every Wednesday. We're live from noon to 2 p.m. We're right here on 860 a.m. You can download the iHeartRadio app and listen on your smartphone, and then we podcast the broadcast, and you can listen to it at your convenience later on in the week. Along with Pat Iding and Jay Dock, a special guest in the studio, Bianca, I'm Joe Krause, broadcasting on a Wednesday and portions of the entire broadcast today. And the summer of 2015 here on Today in Philly Labor, all powered by M&T Bank.
Danny, are you with us? Hello? We got Danny Grace coming on? Dan?
Hey, Dan, how are you?
You're live, brother. But, you know, say all the right things. You're live on the radio. So it's Danny Grace, who's the Secretary Treasurer of Teamsters Local 830. Welcome aboard, Danny.
Well, thank you for having me. And listen, I'm glad to be alive in the city of Philadelphia, labor town.
Well, you know what? We got to make it better. It's a good town. It's a good labor town. We got to get some things done, like a budget getting passed and those things. But on the bright side of things, and we always try to let the folks know there is a bright side, I understand you're being honored by the City of Hope this year.
Yes, sir. I've been picked for the Spirit of Life Award on behalf of labor, and it's an honor and a privilege to be the designee this year. The event will be September 17th at 6 o'clock at the Downtown Club. And, you know, the City of Hope does wonderful things in research to help eliminate some of these awful diseases that are out there today.
Danny, you're right. I've been associated with them for a while, and I had the opportunity to go out to California and see their facility, which is, as much as I love Fox Chase here, that place is unbelievable. And the work they do with kids and diabetes and the research they do on cancer and those things, it's a great organization. And we have a lot of folks right here in Philadelphia who were victims of some disease that went out there and are with us today because of it. They are great. So I congratulate you on the award.
I appreciate that, Pat. And as I said, it's an honor and a privilege for me to represent labor on behalf of City of Hope.
Now, Dan, it's Joe Dougherty. How are you?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's always great to have you on the show. And I think the last time we talked, you know, we talked about, you know, your passion for giving back and, you know, and you know, the things you do that make a difference in the community. You know, tell me a little bit about your commitment. I think we talked about the last time you were here. Like Pat said, we love to promote this because, you know, as you know, in the press, we always get the, you know, the negative stuff. It's our job. job to promote what, you know, the reality. Tell me about some of the things that you're committed to doing in the community, in your charitable endeavors.
And, you know, for once receiving this award, we're not the bad guys on the block. So I'm happy for that. But, you know, for my local Teamsters Local 830, we are always looking to help the underprivileged, whether or not they're represented by labor. So our big charity is Aid for Friends. They feed 2,200 shut-ins three times a day, 7 days a week, and we do a lot of volunteer work for them, raising money, making meals, and doing whatever we can. Costello Boxing is another one to help get the kids off the street and into a program where it gives them some direction and discipline. City of Hope, we've been involved with this for years, raising money, doing whatever they ask us to do. And there's probably other things that we do that I'm just not recalling right now, but whenever somebody calls or whenever there's a need, I go out, reach out to the other locals, businesses, and we do what we have to do.
Well, Danny, say hello, if you will, to Bianca or Zacco.
Orozco.
Before the day's over and she's done following me, we're going to get that right. As you know, Dan, I mess up a lot of names. But Bianca is with us today. She's shadowing me, but she's from the Kensington Health Science Academy. She's in the 12th grade, and she's hearing the good things you're saying about the work you do with kids. And you know, as you know, we do the Work Ready Kids, the interns, every year. But there's a whole lot of stuff in labor that, especially for kids, that folks don't know about.
Well, hello there, Bianca.
Hi.
I'd love to be able to hook up with you at a later date. Pat, maybe you can give her my contact information, and you know, maybe we can sit and talk and. You can give me some direction because I'm always looking for new ideas.
And that's something, Bianca.
That's great stuff. Danny Grace is here with us on Today in Philly Labor. City of Hope, Aid for Friends, when the 34th annual wheelchair games came into rolled in the city of Philadelphia a year ago this August, boom, Danny Grace was involved in I know you're on vacation, and I appreciate you being a part of the program. But just from a chair, from my chair, from sitting in here, looking out over through the glass and looking out into the city of Philadelphia, just on behalf of everyone, thank you, man. Well done. Great work on your part. And I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad you're above ground. And so is everybody that that you touch on a daily basis. Even individuals that you don't even know or never get to know, you touched a lot of great lives. Well done, sir.
And so, Danny, you're going to receive the Spirit of Life Award, which gives out to labor every year from the City of Hope, on September the 17th at the Downtown Club, 6 p.m.?
Yes, sir.
So folks who want to come and celebrate you and celebrate the work you're doing, and I know, you know, when folks ask you to do that and be honored, it also means you do a lot of work. So we appreciate what you're doing, and I know the folks at the City of Hope appreciate it. Thank you, Danny.
All right, Pat, thank you. My privilege.
Great job, Danny.
Good stuff from Danny Grace, checking in here and a part of Today in Philly Labor as we broadcast here on a Wednesday afternoon, rustling through the phone calls. We've been promising you the state rep-elect from the 191st, Joanna McClinton. She's here with us patiently and now joins us live on the hotline. Joanna, how are you?
How's everybody? Hi, President. How's everyone?
We're doing good now that we got you and where you're supposed to be. So good job. You did a great job. You worked hard. And, you know, we're going to be riding on your shoulders a lot for the next, especially the next year. So congratulations. And give us a little insight of how it went. I mean, it was an election. It was an off time. And getting folks out to vote was a tough situation. But you did a great job.
Well, thank you. Let me start by thanking you all for your support. I was tremendously grateful to receive such support from our friends in labor, from all the organized, not all, but from most of the organized labor, from our state AFL-CIO, from our friends at AFSCME 33 and 47, from Unite Here, the hospitality workers, from the laborers, 332. It's just in the carpenters. It was great to get such support because that meant that while I was working hard, knocking on doors and out in the streets in the summertime, there were other folks with me, and that helped for you all to let your membership know about the election. in to ring phones and to knock on doors. It was really an experience. It was the first time I ever ran for public office, and I tell you, it's just humbling. I'm just in such a state of gratitude and excitement to serve in this capacity.
Now, Joanna, this is Jay Doc. First off, congratulations.
Thank you, Jay.
And number two, you know, You worked really hard during this campaign. We talked about it on this show several times. You know, it was a twofold issue. You had an election in the middle of the summer, flat out, which, you know, a lot of people didn't know about. So you had that challenge, and then your own platform. You took nothing for granted, because you were actually in a three-person race. So tell us a little bit about you know what your plans are now that you've gotten this opportunity, you know, to hit the ground running in Harrisburg
and get a budget.
Absolutely. Yeah. So being in the three-person race, you know, it just was very difficult in the summertime, especially to be able to predict what the support was going to be, what the outcome would be. You know, I was blessed to get a lot of great feedback from neighbors that I was meeting, some for the first time, knocking on their doors and things like that. But it was also definitely something that I had to try and continue to work at every day, because I was going through packets of lists and divisions. But, you know, it was one of those things that everybody was saying, how's it going? I mean, I felt like it was going great, but a lot of people have not been successful in running for different offices and also felt like it was going great. So I was glad to see that it wasn't just going great, but that folks that told me they were coming out, that they really made it to the polls. And in terms of hitting the ground running, I mean, the first priority is really helping Governor Wolf get a budget passed that more adequately funds our schools. That helps the Commonwealth come out of our debt and really, you know, being a voice of reason, bringing folks to the table. Once I get up to Harrisburg, we get sworn in on next Tuesday the 25th, and letting my constituents know that I'm going to be standing up and letting folks know, like, we cannot ignore this. We can't keep kicking the bucket. Like, we have to get a real budget passed, and one that includes the priorities that Governor Wolf ran on and that people in this Commonwealth want. It wasn't that he just ran on it. He had an overwhelming majority of the vote last November. So people want those changes that he talked about.
Well, and what we've done is we've asked the listening audience and everybody else to make phone calls to their other state reps and state senators to get some movement going, get some discussion going, because we can't go much further with this without having some meaningful debate on it, on a budget, instead of just getting a lot of no's. But Joanna, I want to introduce you to Bianca, who is a young lady from Kensington High School. She's the Kensington Health Science Academy. She's in the 12th grade, and she's been with me for most of the day. She had an opportunity to meet Jim Kenney earlier today. And so what could you say to Bianca that might impress her to get in politics someday?
Bianca, it's nice to meet you. I look forward to a face-to-face when time allows. I encourage you to know that you have a very important role to play in our community. Some of the things that you observed and seen growing up, some things you love, some things you don't like, some things you've experienced just in your schooling, you have a voice, and you can get involved now. You don't have to wait until you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s or whatever you might think a good age to break into politics is. First and foremost, when you turn 18, make sure you get registered to vote so you can get voting in the next election, whatever it is, whether it's this November, you can vote for mayor, or next spring, you can vote for a presidential candidate. I also encourage you to keep the relationships that you have. So I know you just met our soon-to-be mayor, and we're on the phone right now. I definitely need some young people in my office to come in, give ideas on how we can improve the community. While I know we're on the other side of the city, out in Southwest, I encourage you to go to Representative Dawkins' office and the ones in your area so that you can make sure that you have a suggestion and input and you can have your hands at the table. You're never too young to get involved, and you also should know that the work that you do, it really helps other folks. So I'm really glad that you are on the radio today and that you're in the studio, and I hope to be not just reading about you years from now, but knowing that you're getting involved today.
Thank you. I appreciate everything you've said. And I agree a lot, you know, with having students' inputs and young people's inputs in, like, put?
Politics.
And politics and political views. I find it very hard to actually, speak with, people around my age, about politics and about, bigger issues, because they're not really so involved in it, and they don't really, talk about it and hear about it a lot in ways that would, that they would understand. So I believe that it's a really big thing for me to try and, explain to younger people that it's very good thing to, keep your education going and to, keep trying to, have a voice, basically, to try and get your input out and try and get people to realize that, we have a say in things, and we should have a say in things, because we can't keep, following these guidelines that have been set up for us, because some of them, we can't abide by all of them. So I believe that, we should have an input in most things.
So, Joanna, you might have some competition now, because
we need it.
I think it's great to listen. She's a great young lady. How she came by us is she was involved in a program about bullying, and so it was our fortune to be able to come together, and it's also our fortune to have you being up at the State House and putting the hard work that you put in to get election. I know you put that into this budget, and maybe we'll see something very soon. We certainly, and I know that our governor certainly needs your help.
Well, that is our hope, and that's why we're on our way to Harrisburg next week. Thank you so much.
Stay in touch.
Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you.
That's Joanna Clinton joining us here on Today in Philly Labor. We'll take our final break of hour number one when we come back. It's Pat Iding will tell you the who, what, why, when, and where about the 28th Annual Tri-State Labor Day Parade. Back after the break.
Guess who's looking to invest $1 billion in Philadelphia? IBEW Local 98. One of Local 98's first investments was in the Commonwealth, a premier residence in the historic Commonwealth Title and Trust Building of 1902. Local 98 also has a 51% ownership in 2116 Chestnut, luxury high-rise apartments that were built by unions on time and on budget. And IBEW Local 98 is also looking to invest in the redevelopment of Girard Square at 12th and Market, which is slated to be reborn as a five-story retail destination with two much-needed hotels and a few state-of-the-art digital billboards. Looking forward, Local 98 is seeking to invest in a new data center, a small power plant, and the growing Navy Yard.
Hi, this is John Dougherty, business manager of Local 98. We live in this city and invest in it because Philly deserves top-quality union projects built by residents who pay their taxes.
With over half a century of support for labor union organizations, M&T Bank wants you to know what they can do for you. Are you a building and construction trade union in the Philadelphia area? If so, contact M&T Bank. Are you an industrial union or a public service employee union in the Philadelphia area? If so, contact M&T Bank. Are you part of an apprentice training program or perhaps a union benefit funds office? If so, contact M&T Bank. To learn more about their full line of financial services that are tailored for labor union organizations just like yours, contact Bill Wecklock at 610-520-8459. M&T Bank, understanding what's important to the labor union community.
Union 126 will always be there for our members, our contractors, and our clients when Mother Nature deals a harsh dose of bad weather. IBEW Local Union 126 was there and will always be there, helping our neighbors in time of need. Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and support the IBEW Local Union 126. They provide service and support that is needed and deserved. IBEW Local 126. Visit them on the web at IBEWLU126.com.
Local Union 126 IBEW serves Pennsylvania, Delaware, and the Eastern Shore of Maryland electrical line construction and maintenance industry, first and foremost by representing and providing local signatory contractors with a trained workforce in our geographic area.
Getting hurt on the job can mean broken dreams, fractured hopes, shattered lives. Turn to Pond Lee Hockey, the workers' compensation law firm. They'll take on the insurance companies and employers, reverse the wrongs, and put your life back together again. Pond Lee Hockey. Call 800-568-7500. That's 800-568-7500.
I want to thank DNC Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a great, great leader for our party, the entire TAG committee, the Technical Assistance Committee, who had their site visit here in Philadelphia last summer, for the DNC recognizing our tremendous attributes and choosing Philadelphia.
Tell what I felt, I was unrecognizable to myself. Saw my reflection in the window and didn't know my own face. Oh brother, are you gonna leave me wasting away on the streets of Philadelphia?
And welcome back, everyone, to Today in Philly Labors. We come to you live on a Wednesday. Special thanks to Joanna McClinton for joining us in hour number one. And a special thanks to Bianca Orozco for coming into the studio and being part of what is a terrific and a fantastic day for us to have you in the room. Bianca, thank you very much.
It's been a joy. It really has been a joy. Joe, I know I have to run. Things keep popping up. But, you know, we're coming close to September the 7th, I believe it is. And September the 7th will be the day that labor demonstrates their day. They come out and have a parade down at Columbus Boulevard, starting at the Sheet Metal Hall. We start somewhere around 8:30 a.m. and we'll march thousands and thousands of workers. Some of them will have presentations of some of the issues that are going on now for working people, as far as collective bargaining and minimum wage and those kinds of things. And at the end of the parade, we'll have a party, and I think rightly so that. We have an awful lot of things that we should be celebrating, an awful lot of good work that labor people are doing. We're able to put it on this show many times, but this is the 28th annual Tri-State Labor Day Parade and Family Celebration. It's called Tri-State because we welcome folks from our adjoining states, but this has become a real good demonstration of working people coming out together. It's gotten bigger every year since I've been here. I came for a day or so, and I'm still here 13 years later, so I don't know if I got anything right yet. But the parade has gotten bigger every year, and the celebration at the end of the parade is for everybody. You know, our members have bands that go, but if the public wants to come, they come down to the Great Plaza, and there's bands to be sold at the entrance. It's a great day. We'll have entertainment, stuff for the kids. It's a family day, and it's Labor's Day. It's our day, and so come on out and see us.
Yeah, no, Pat, it's a fantastic day. Solidarity to the max. The great parade and a great family picnic afterwards, like Pat said. They have the festivities for the kids, the live bands, and it's a great celebration of the labor movement, and we're just proud to be a part of it.
Let me take 45 seconds, if I can, just to go through the details. Sometimes they get lost when you're listening to the conversation. The 28th Annual Tri-State Labor Day Parade and Family Celebration will be held on Monday, September 7th, 2015. The gathering will begin at 8:30. The parade kickoff rally will be at 9:15. The parade to Penn's Landing at the Great Plaza, which is Columbus Boulevard and Market Street, will get underway at 10 a.m. And then from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., as Pat referenced, the AFL-CIO and the Family Celebration will have food, refreshments, kids' activities, crafts, live music, and it's all powered and sponsored by the Philadelphia Council, AFL-CIO, and the Tri-State Labor Day Parade Committee. So that's happening on Monday, September 7th. Pat Iding, it should be a fantastic day. You have 15 seconds to put an exclamation point on that.
And we'll be there rain or shine, and most of the time it's shine, but we've had a few rainy days, but come out, and I tell you, the loyal people at the end of the day, we're still there. So September the 7th, come on out, 8:30 at Columbus Boulevard. It's a great day to celebrate your day as a working person.
All right. Good stuff. Hour number one in the books. We'll return after the station ID. Special thanks again to Bianca Orozco for coming into the studio today.
Thank you.
Stay with us, everyone.
Bruised and battered, I couldn't tell what I felt. I was unrecognizable to myself. Saw my
reflection in the window today. Know my own face, oh brother, you're gonna leave me wasting away on the streets of fear.
WWDB Philadelphia, 860 AM.
With a workforce of journeymen and apprentices that is among the highest skilled and best trained in America, the proud members of Steam Fitters Local 420 are committed to working with their contractors of mechanical and service contractors associations to provide end users with a product that is on time, on budget, and done right the first time. Whether it be a downtown skyscraper, an industrial project, or residential, from pipe fabrication and welding to gas pipelines and heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration systems, the proud members of Steam Fitters Local 420 provide a level of craftsmanship and quality that sets the standard in the industry. Steam Fitters Local 420 is a proud member of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council. Anthony Gallagher, business manager.
I was bruised and battered, I couldn't tell what I felt. I was unrecognizable to myself. Saw my reflection in the window today. Know my own face, oh brother, you're gonna leave me wasting away.
Welcome back, everyone, to Today in Philly Labor, the summer of 2015, here as part of the Today in Philly Labor show, all being powered by M&T Bank. A quick summer as things have moved into, we're already thinking about Labor Day and the fall. And it, Jay Doc, it is unbelievable. And that time occurs, I guess, here in Philadelphia when the Eagles break camp and they get ready to go. And then the Labor Day parade sits out there. And then Bianca gets ready to go back to class for her senior year, but things are moving forward, and boy, they are moving quickly as we come to a close.
I can't believe we're already at that time of year, and every month we get the opportunity to do a segment with CLU, Coalition of Labor Union Women, and we have had some amazing segments. And this month we're doing pay equity, and we're happy to have on the program Kathy Black from Coalition of Labor Union Women. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Hey, Joe.
Great to have you in the studio.
So the pressure's on, Kathy. This show needs to be there.
We need to take this home.
I've done this show before. I know.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We've had you here before.
This is your first time in a new studio.
It is. That's true, guys.
Very nice. It's light, so we're good.
It's bright.
We went down a floor, but we went to a vibrant new light with studio windows.
We love it. We're in the Balakin. We're in the WWDB studios here in Balakinwood, and we do come to you live every Wednesday from noon to two. And as Kathy said, there's a lot of light in the studio, and Tony's on the other side of the glass, which we have to talk to Tony electronically. So that's one of the adjustments that we had to make. But certainly proud and thrilled to be here as we get through another summer and start to prepare for what is going to be, J-Doc, an exciting fall. We have some incredible partners that we're going to introduce to the entire labor community coming up in the fall, which we'll have a kickoff of that at the Labor Day Parade. So we've got a lot of great stuff in terms of setting the table for the fall here on Today in Philly Labor.
Absolutely. And as you know, every month I love the CLU segment because it provides a fantastic information about, you know, a ton of issues that impact our workers and specifically our women in the labor movement. First of all, Kathy, tell us, our listeners who may have not tuned in before, what is CLU?
CLU is the Coalition of Labor Union Women. The shorthand I like to use is it's the women's movement within the labor movement. We're a constituency group of the AFL-CIO that was formed in 1974 in the heyday of the women's movement and workers' rights. We're big then, too. A lot of turmoil and a lot of new organizations formed, and CLU is one of them and one of the earliest constituency groups.
Now, what is your role in CLU?
I was the president of the Philadelphia chapter, one of the biggest and certainly the best chapter in the country for 21 years. And I stepped down about a year and a half ago. I'm getting toward retirement myself. And one of the projects of our chapter for the last bunch of years was to groom younger women leaders. And it was a slow and lurching process for a while, but we really did wind up putting together a group of young women who are organizers. They're rank and file members. Some of them have been students and just interested in the labor movement. Young lawyers who are doing, you know, labor law, interested in labor law. And so they've formed their own core committee and have done a lot of activities and training, and we've spent some money getting them groomed and ready for leadership. And so Laura Wentz, our president for a year and a half, was among the leaders of that core group and emerged as the next president.
Well, you know, Laura, she actually helps co-produce the segment. She, uh-huh. you know, she'll decide on what the topics are. And we've had some really amazing and heavy topics.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
really,
we don't mess around.
I did see what I'm assuming was a big announcement for Laura, right?
Laura is running for public office. That's right, in Upper Darby, for the Upper Darby Council at Large.
She's jumping all in.
Yeah, she is.
okay, so
let's talk about.
She does, and we love her, and we appreciate not only her support but her input in the program, because it adds just another element. We broadcast the news of the day, and we give our opinions on what's going on, but we also like to provide segments that provide different angles and different information to people out there. And you look at women in the labor movement, and we bring in different guests, and we feel strongly that it not only gives a voice to women in the labor movement, but also women that are listening out there understanding what's possible.
That's right. We like to be the vanguard on these issues, and they really aren't just women's issues. A lot of the issues we work on are just as important to families and male workers, but they aren't necessarily the primary issues at the top of the list of a lot of labor organizations. And so it's been our job to bring those issues forward,
right,
and connect them to the other issues that people care about, and get them to realize how, you know, we got to fight for all these things together.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about today's issue. What is pay equity?
Well, I'm so glad we're talking about this today, because just next week, August 26th, is Women's Equality Day. And it's established because that's the day that women got the franchise in 1920. But we are talking about women's equality today in an economic sense, and that's certainly what gaining the franchise was about, in part, at least for women, was having an equal say about the economy. So, and pay equity, the traditional definition of pay equity is really just equal pay for equal work. That is, the same jobs done by men and women have to be paid the same. And that's been the law of the land since 1964, I think, although it still isn't universal. And labor union women certainly have the edge in this area, because you know, union contracts don't distinguish by gender, not anymore anyway. Race and gender, they used to be, but that's a long time ago. So the union contract is one of the best ways to get to pay equity. But pay equity really has a broader meaning, and you really have to think about it in a different way, because so many jobs that women are predominantly found in are just undervalued, because historically they've been held by women. Also true for minorities, even more so actually for minorities, but probably the clearest line is by gender. And so what pay equity seeks to do is compensate work based on the skills, experience, responsibility level that the job entails. And there's all kinds of ways to do this. There's lots of objective job evaluation systems that have been developed over the years. And, with like point systems, and you add up the points, and based on the job, not its title, not who holds it, then you assign compensation. And, that's...
So in other words, people, they'll label jobs differently, but the responsibilities for those jobs may require obviously a whole nother, I guess salary level or pay rate.
Yeah, absolutely. And, this is not new stuff. In the 70s and 80s, when I was a much younger union activist, actually this is what got me into the labor movement, was pay equity, also called comparable worth. I was in Oregon. I was a secretary at the University of Oregon. And when they did the the study, found out that me and my other secretary friends, who had to have all kinds of skills, lots of skills, plus dealing with the obnoxious faculty, made $5,000 less than the men who worked in the motor pool, who did not even need to be able to write their own names. They pumped gas and checked oil all day long, and other minor, you know, they weren't mechanics, just minor laborers. And $5,000 was big money in 1983. So that was my wake-up call. And so that's kind of a classic example of pay equity seeks to change.
Right. I was definitely wondering that. In other words, because it's hard to believe, you would think that that men and women doing the same exact job would you know, there'd be a discrimination there. And now, but you know, but it does, it makes 100% sense when you're telling me the misclassification of a worker, you know, because, you know, she's a secretary. She may be doing more than the office manager.
Well, even if she's just doing what a secretary does, I mean, you know, it's a lot of skill. You have to type a certain number of words per minute. You know, and in those days, there, you know, was,
so
there were no computers.
About
you had to do it accurately. And, you know, value mm-hmm. is exactly right. That's the right way to think of it. What is the value of the job? And that's how it should be compensated.
Kathy Black is our live guest in the studio. Glad to have Kathy here with us in hour number two. Joining us by phone when we come back after the break, Karen Hunter. She's the president of the Pennsylvania.
Just Hunt.
Oh, Karen Hunt. Okay, thank you. She is the president of the Pennsylvania State Chapter of the National Organization for Women. And Karen will be along with us after the break. Stay with us, everyone.
Good.
Guess who's looking to invest $1 billion in Philadelphia? IBEW Local 98. One of Local 98's first investments was in the Commonwealth, a premier residence in the historic Commonwealth Title and Trust Building of 1902. Local 98 also has a 51% ownership in 2116 Chestnut, luxury high-rise apartments that were built by unions on time and on budget. And IBEW Local 98 is also looking to invest in the redevelopment of Girard Square at 12th and Market, which is slated to be reborn as a five-story retail destination with two much-needed hotels and a few state-of-the-art digital billboards. Looking forward, Local 98 is seeking to invest in a new data center, a small power plant, and the growing Navy Yard.
Hi, this is John Dougherty, business manager of Local 98. We live in this city and invest in it because Philly deserves top-quality union projects built by residents who pay their taxes.
With over half a century of support for labor union organizations, M&T Bank wants you to know what they can do for you. Are you a building and construction trade union in the Philadelphia area? If so, contact M&T Bank. Are you an industrial union or public service employee union in the Philadelphia area? If so, contact M&T Bank. Are you part of an apprentice training program or perhaps a union benefit funds office? If so, contact M&T Bank. To learn more about their full line of financial services that are tailored for labor union organizations just like yours, contact Bill Wecklock at 610-520-8459. M&T Bank, understanding what's important to the labor union community.
You do it for your family.
Daddy's home.
You work hard. Always get the job done.
Nice job, Bill.
But everything changes after a work injury. If you get hurt on the job, call Pond Lehocky, the workers' compensation law firm. They take on the insurance companies and employers, reverse the wrongs, and put your life back together again. Pond Lehocky. Call 800-568-7500. 800-568-7500.
Whether it's a high-rise commercial building, a residential development, or an industrial project, the highly skilled workforce of sheet metal workers Local 19 get the job done right and on time the first time. From heating, ventilating, and air conditioning to the installation and fabrication of all sheet metal products to providing service technicians for commercial, industrial, and residential HVAC needs, Local 19 members are the highest skilled and best trained craftsmen in the industry who are committed to providing their signatory contractors and end users with maximum results. Serving 23 counties throughout Pennsylvania as well as New Jersey and Delaware, sheet metal workers Local 19 are proud members of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council.
Has your home or business been damaged by a recent storm and you're left to deal with the insurance company to make things right? Turn to Apple Public Adjusters and meet owners Patrick O'Donnell and Mark Stendardo. If you've suffered recent storm damage to your home or business, call 267-538-3373. That's 267-538-3373. And protect your rights and maximize your benefits. Incredible amount of snow, ice, and frigid temperatures forcing the entire Delaware Valley into action. IBEW Local Union 614 was there and will always be there, helping others, our neighbors, in time of need. Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and support the IBEW Local Union 614. They provide safety so you can value your life. IBEW Local 614. Visit them on the web at 614IBEW.com.
Local 614 is a utility local representing members employed by Exelon Pico Energy and Veolia Energy.
The 40-hour work week, overtime pay, a minimum wage, weekends like this one, all that didn't happen by accident. It happened because America's workers organized for it.
And I'm proud to be an American.
And welcome back, everyone, to Today in Philly Labor on a Wednesday afternoon. Shout out to all of our listeners bouncing around the Delaware Valley. If you're listening and you're stuck in traffic on I-76, keep the air on, keep the radio loud, keep your eye on the road as humidity up around the high 80s today with the temperature. But there is relief in sight as we roll through the final couple of weeks here on the Today in Philly Labor show into the fall, which will be kicked off by the September 7th, 28th annual Tri-State Labor Day Parade. That gathering will begin down at the Sheet Metal Workers Local 19 Union Hall. 8:30 a.m. is when the gathering will officially start. Everybody will start to get down there at 8:30. The parade depends landing, and the Great Plaza will kick off at 10 o'clock, and then that will be followed by an 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. celebration put on by the Philadelphia AFL-CIO. Great day indeed. The hottest thing on the at the parade last year was the Today in Philly Labor Radio T-shirts that are no longer in production, but I understand that was a great hot commodity.
It
last
was.
Year,
we, I'll tell you what, we did a lot of interviews. It was a fantastic day, and certainly we enjoyed it, and we're looking forward again this year. We're continuing our conversation with Kathy Black, our a Coalition of Labor Union Women pay equity issue. Kathy, let's talk about a little bit about what pay equity is. How do unions help the pay equity issue?
Well, as I said earlier, a union contract is the best way to get pay equity. But I can tell you that the places where pay equity has been achieved have mostly been because the unions have taken the initiative and pushed the envelope for studies to be done, wage studies. They're often called comparable worth studies. There's a whole bunch of different point systems that are used. Most of this happened, unfortunately, in the 80s and 90s, and there hasn't been a whole lot of activity since then. But there was a real groundswell of support for this idea for quite a while. And a number of state governments, in fact, that were unionized were among those that that made significant changes. They did it over a number of years, but they made these kind of analyses, and it was very clear that there was a big gender bias in the way jobs were compensated.
Let's welcome into the program Karen Hunt. She is the president of the Pennsylvania State Chapter of the National Organization for Women. She joins us here on 860. Hello, Karen. Welcome into the program.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Karen.
Nice to be here. Hi, Kathy.
It's great to have you on the show, Karen. And we're talking about pay equity. And before we do that, though, and before we bring you into the conversation, tell us what NOW, PA NOW is, the National Organization of Women.
Sure. Pennsylvania NOW is a state chapter of the National Organization for Women, which has been around since 1966. It's the largest feminist political organization in the country. And we're driven by six core missions: economic justice, reproductive justice, LGBT rights or gender equality, combating racism, ending violence against women, and constitutional equality, which means adding an Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution eventually.
Let's talk about the pay equity issue. How important is it to the National Organization for Women?
Oh, it's a top priority, absolutely. I mean, equal pay for equal work affects every woman, every family that relies on a woman bringing in a paycheck. It's a matter of, you know, equality and fairness. Women earn on average 78 cents for every dollar earned by their male counterparts. And that gap is significantly larger for women of color. African American women earn 64 cents per dollar to the dollar earned by their male counterparts, and Latinos earn about 54 cents. So, you know, that adds up to a pretty big number at the end of the day. So,
I'm glad you mentioned the numbers. I hadn't gotten to that earlier, Karen, because I think it's important for people to know how slowly that has changed. When they first started,
it's been like watching the grass grow.
It's
increased by about half a penny, you know, per year for over five decades.
That's right.
And over a lifetime of wage discrimination, you know, it just means that women have trouble saving for emergencies, for money to put their kids through college, for retirement,
and then on top of that, there's
stress.
That's right. And they're often the ones
stay home with young children.
Men could equally stay home if the economic benefit or harm to the family.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that men than ever really actually do want to have more of a relationship with their children. So just as women want more financial autonomy. So it really is something that benefits both men and women to work on pay equity.
Karen, here's a big question. Okay, why? Why is it still like that? In other words, as a man, it's not a hard sell to me that men and women doing the same job should be paid the same. Why is it still like this?
Well, really, in a lot of ways, I think that underneath everything, I mean, I think there's some overt bias, but I think a lot of it is unconscious bias and historical bias that's been built into, well, you know, for instance, teachers being valued less than carpenters, for instance. I mean, that's just, an inherent bias. And I think that the more people become aware of it, the more companies become aware of it, the more that they're looking to make things right.
But that's been a slow change, too. And one of the problems is it's so difficult to enforce, even when it's an equal, the exact same job and women are paid less, it's very difficult to enforce a change. And that's why there's actually new legislation that's been proposed that's going nowhere so far, both in the state legislature and in Congress, that would be the Fair Pay Act. And it really is a comparable worth, a real pay equity bill that would, force employers to examine the way they compensate jobs and remove gender biases. And, until it's so slow that until we have legislation, I don't think we'll ever see it.
One thing that would really help, well, as Kathy just said, there is legislation in Pennsylvania to try and put teeth into the existing law. The Pay Equity Act in Pennsylvania was enacted in 1959, and the penalties, for instance, for businesses discriminating on the basis of gender have not been increased since 1959. I mean, it's pathetic. But there's another bill that's been introduced by Representative Brian Sims and Tina Davis in the House and Senators Teplitz and Williams in the Senate that would end wage secrecy. That would, some employers just discourage the sharing of wage information. Some of them even retaliate against people who share the wage information. If workers have an idea of what their counterparts in their industry are being paid, they can negotiate on their own behalf.
That was an issue in the Lilly Ledbetter case. And once again, that's something that a union contract prevents, when we have a union
contract
and you've got a compensation scale and it's right there in black and white.
Kathy Black is our
union members.
Hold on.
Kathy Black is our in-studio guest, and Karen Hunt is joining us by phone. Karen is the president of the Pennsylvania State Chapter of the National Organization for Women, and she joins us by phone, and Kathy is part of the conversation here at the roundtable here in the studio.
Yeah, Karen, we're talking about labor unions and how that because it's a collectively bargained contract, often negates stuff like this going on in the workplace. However, the one thing that we talk about a lot on the show is, and what makes me proud a little bit is the fact that labor gets involved in issues that in a lot of ways are not their fight supporting what is right. You talk about the minimum wage issue in labor. You know, we don't often have that issue, and certainly, it's important for us to, especially on Today in Philly Labor, to provide exposure for situations like this as part of the labor movement, where, there are still, and it's mind-boggling to me, but I think, Kathy, you've explained it really well, where, sometimes it's just misclassification, undervaluing situations. And when I look at something like this, you could look at the old boy network, but in some cases, I look at it and just my own two cents from being involved in this conversation. Employers don't typically want to pay more, and
that's right. And you got to fight for this.
So, in other words, in some cases, they may not want to wake a sleeping giant and even get involved in that. So, it's important for activists and people like us who understand that there are issues out there, people being taken advantage of. Somebody could be working a ridiculously strenuous job and getting undervalued. I think a lot of people think pay inequality is simply two people with the exact same job not making the same amount of money, which is easy to determine.
Right.
The question is, when now you find out it's not just that, it's actually misclassification and undervaluing jobs.
It goes way back. I mean, when only men set pay scales and when not many women worked. And so the myth was that women worked for extra money only. They didn't really need to work. But the truth is women have always worked for economic necessity, always. And, some maybe were for extras, but that is, one of those historical artifacts that Karen was mentioning and really a red herring.
So, Karen, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You talk about the pay scales. Is the pay scale the same for all women versus all men? Or, in other words, is it that black and white? Or how many different ways does pay?
No. There are a million. The perspective really shifts depending on what industry you're looking at, what type of field, what kind of educational background. But it doesn't matter whether you're looking at traditionally male-dominated or traditionally female-dominated fields, or at high-earning careers or low-income jobs, and men are paid more for the exact same job. So, whether you're, comparing surgeons or you're comparing, domestic workers, you're going to get the same. Men are paid less, no matter what.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, it really is just an inherent bias.
Yeah, and when you control for a time that women take out of the workforce, and any of those things, still there's always still a gap that can't be explained any other way besides this historical.
That's right.
Institution.
I just wanted to say on behalf of union members. Wage gap for union members is approximately half of what it is for non-union members. And it represents a difference in pay on average of more than $200 per week for female union members as compared to non-union members.
I mean, that's a significant number.
That's a significant number.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't even count retirement benefits and health benefits, which, too many women outside unions don't have. And, Joe, what you were talking about, how, bosses don't want to pay more, of course. I mean, the conservatives' argument always is that the market will take care of this. If the market really valued these positions more, then they would pay more. Like the market is some giant, discrimination-free zone,
right,
where fairness and light exists at all times and there's no other forces at work. It's such a crock. But that is, it's the same argument that they use against raising the minimum wage or, national health insurance or anything else that will benefit benefit people overall. It's the cost. Well, yes, things are going to cost more, and then it lifts all boats. There'll be more money in the economy. People can afford to pay more.
Sure.
Prices will go up. That's the way life is. That's how the economy works. That's how the economy grows.
Well, now, when you talk about this issue, you see it crosses over, I mean, into labor, not as, you know, at a 50% clip there, but at the same time, it still does. I think it's important for women and men to understand that, you know, especially as labor brings this conversation up, and it's just another example of, like we talked about a couple minutes ago, I mentioned labor getting involved in something that is important because it's a voice. I think the general public has to get – how does the general public get involved in this to understand it impacts everybody, them, and how do they make a difference?
Well, that, you know, that's a loaded question. It's a big job. And I think before Karen was on, I was talking about how the heyday of this issue really was 30, 40 years ago when there were studies going on. So we need that kind of groundswell again. And some of these issues are part of National Women's Organizations platforms, and they are very important to some people in Congress and the legislatures. I think we need to build campaigns around that legislation because the bosses won't do it on their own, and it's not going to change magically.
Karen Hunt, you get last word on the topic.
Well, I totally agree that until our legislators care about it, business will not care about it. One way people can get involved is they can go to PA4WomensHealth.org. That is the website for the Pennsylvania Agenda for Women's Health, and that's where a whole group of bills, including pay equity bills, accommodation for pregnant workers, sanitary conditions for nursing mothers, raising the minimum wage, a whole bunch of really great bills are, and you can sort of track their momentum there and figure out how to get involved in that campaign.
Do we have 15 seconds?
And if you want to find out more about Pennsylvania Now, go to PennsylvianiaNow.org.
That was exactly what I was going to ask. Kathy?
This is the end. I wanted to mention again next week, Women's Equality Day, August 26th at noon at Broad and Walnut. We're going to have a visibility event celebrating women's equality and with posters and signs talking about things like pay equity. And it's being organized by Planned Parenthood, whose wonderful services to women's health are under tremendous attack right now.
What time is
noon,
it?
Noon, Broad and Walnut, Wednesday, August 26th.
Karen Hunt, the president of the Pennsylvania State Chapter of the National Organization for Women. Thank you very much for being part
Thank
of
you.
The Today in Philly Labor broadcast. Kathy Black, well done. You did an awesome job. Nice
Thank
to have you,
so
you in
much.
The studio. Look forward to having you back many, many more times to come. Stick around,
Thanks
everybody,
so
as we roll into our commercial break. When we come back, more on Today in Philly Labor. Stay with us, everyone. On the job and your family depends on you. In this day and age, with the cards stacked in the insurance company's favor, you need the best representation possible to protect your rights in order to obtain your workers' compensation benefits. Turn to the workers' compensation law firm of Lowry Pitt and Associates. With decades of experience and a track record of success that is second to none, the attorneys at Lowry Pitt and Associates will fight hard to ensure that your rights are protected and you receive the workers' compensation benefits you deserve. If you've been injured on the job, call 1-888-PITT-LAW. That's 1-888-748-8529 and protect your rights and benefits.
Today in Philly Labor congratulates Larry Pitt for being recognized by the Workers Injury Law and Advocacy Group as one of the nation's top injured workers attorneys of 2014. Tune in every Wednesday from noon to 2 p.m. for Today in Philly Labor presented by PNC Bank and join in the conversation by calling during the show at 888-329-3306. Today in Philly Labor Radio presented by PNC Bank.
We are the Newspaper Guild of Greater Philadelphia, working and striving to bring you the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philadelphia Daily News, and Philly.com. We are the Delaware County Times, the Pottstown Mercury, and the Norristown Times-Herald. We are the Trentonian, and we are Philiposh. We represent you and the communities we serve. We are the Restaurant Opportunity Centers, helping to train restaurant workers in seven U.S. cities. We are you.
Whether it's a high-rise commercial building, a residential development, or an industrial project, the highly skilled workforce of Sheet Metal Workers Local 19 get the job done right and on time the first time. From heating, ventilating, and air conditioning, to the installation and fabrication of all sheet metal products, to providing service technicians for commercial, industrial, and residential HVAC needs, Local 19 members are the highest skilled and best trained craftsmen in the industry who are committed to providing their signatory contractors and end users with maximum results. Serving 23 counties throughout Pennsylvania, as well as New Jersey and Delaware, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19 are proud members of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council. With a workforce of journeymen and apprentices that is among the highest skilled and best trained in America, the proud members of Steam Fitters Local 420 are committed to working with their contractors of mechanical and service contractors associations to provide end users with a product that is on time, on budget, and done right the first time. Whether it be a downtown skyscraper, an industrial project, or residential, from pipe fabrication and welding to gas pipelines and heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration systems, the proud members of Steam Fitters Local 420 provide a level of craftsmanship and quality that sets the standard in the industry. Steam Fitters Local 420 is a proud member of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council. Anthony Gallagher, business manager.
This year was met with an incredible amount of snow, ice, and frigid temperatures, forcing the entire Delaware Valley into action. IBEW Local Union 614 was there and will always be there, helping others, our neighbors, in time of need. Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and support the IBEW Local Union 614. They provide safety so you can value your life. IBEW Local 614. Visit them on the web at 614IBEW.com.
Local 614 is a utility local representing members employed by Exelon Pico Energy and Veolia Energy.
I want to thank DNC Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a great, great leader for our party. The entire TAG committee, the Technical Assistance Committee, who had their site visit here in Philadelphia last summer, for the DNC recognizing our tremendous attributes and choosing Philadelphia.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Welcome back, everyone, to Today in Philly Labor. Big shout out to Bill Weckluck and Rick Bertino from M&T Bank. They have been part of our partnership for, it must be the last 3 or 4 months, and they take us through the summer of 2015, and we get ready for the fall. We shout out and we thank Bill and Rick. Thank you very much for your support of the labor community and for what you do. M&T Bank, a big part of the labor movement and that labor community, not only in Philadelphia, but north of here, up through New York, and a big footprint or a big impact Bill and Rick are looking to make inside the labor community. So we thank them for all of their support. Real quick, I want to just remind everyone again about the 28th annual Tri-State Labor Day Parade and Family Celebration. It will be Monday, September 7th. The gathering will begin down at the Sheet Metal Workers Local 19 down at the Union Hall, 1301 South Columbus Boulevard. 8:30 is when everyone will begin. 9:15 is when the rally will start. 10 a.m. is when the parade and the procession will begin down to the Penn's Landing Great Plaza. And then 11 a.m. To 2 p.m., the Philadelphia AFL-CIO will host and the family celebration will host with food, refreshments, kids' activities, make and take crafts, live music. You were there, Jay. Just a fantastic day. Great opportunity for the community to come together in just one big visual opportunity to put an exclamation point on everything that's been done up to this point in 2015.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic annual event. The people at the AFL, the staff, the AFL-CIO, and Pat Iding and the whole team do a fantastic job. All the labor leaders throughout the council really commit to being a part of it, and the members of the unions are all walking in the parade presenting solidarity, a nice show of solidarity. It's just a fun family picnic that's really worth attending. We just really enjoy it every year. Right now, we have our business to labor segment, and our business to labor segment is where we promote union-friendly businesses and service providers who provide fantastic products and services to the Philadelphia area labor movement. I'm proud to bring on to this show Michael Primavera of Farmers Insurance. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you. Mike and I were acquainted. He's had a commitment, with his brokerage to provide not only great products to the general public, but a commitment to labor. Now, from what I understand, Mike, obviously you're an experienced professional, but you're celebrating your 2 years in business with your Farmers Insurance brokerage. This week?
Yes. This week will be 2 years. Prior to that, I was with State Farm for like 9 years.
Now, from what I understand and through our communications, you're acquainted with our co-host, Pat Iding, who was here for the first hour. Evidently, I believe your wife works she's a director of programming over at the Greater Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce, and she had Pat speak at one of the programs in January.
Yes, she did. She did. She said he's a great guy, great speech and everything like that. So she said, very nice, and I would enjoy speaking to you guys.
Let's do this for a moment if we can. Mike Primavera is on the line with us. Mike, we're going to click you on hold for just a moment. We're getting some echoing that's coming through the radio transmission. We're going to put you on hold. Tony, our producer, will talk to you, and then we'll bring you right back on the air with us as we're part of Today in Philly Labor. And there was some echoing there, Jay Doc, that was just not conducive for our listeners. Let me see if Tony has him set back up in a moment. We'll get right back to Mike Primavera, and now let's bring him in. Mike, do we have you out there now?
Yes. Is that any better?
Oh, much better, man. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Now, first of all,
thank you.
Tell me about your firm and what you provide.
So I work for Farmers Insurance. We're an insurance company. I'm located in the Fishtown section of Philadelphia, and we offer auto, homeowners, life insurance, some retirement funds, that type of stuff.
Now tell me, our previous communication, you said something I thought was really awesome, and you talked about obviously when you were growing up, when you knew you wanted to open up your own place, you wanted to make sure you did it in the community that you grew up in. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I grew up in like the Kensington, Port Richmond, Fishtown area. Played sports growing up, went to North Catholic, which is now closed, unfortunately. But growing up, I had the opportunity to see the neighborhoods change and everything like that. And when I had the opportunity to open up a farmer's agency, they said, well, where do you want to be? You want to be outside the city? I said, no, I want to be where I grew up at, give back to the people that helped me get where I am today. And I had the opportunity to open up at Belgrade and Montgomery, right in the heart of Fishtown. And as you guys know, Fishtown is really up and coming. They're doing a ton of building here. And
I was just going to say, you became a yuppie. You understand that, right, Mike?
Right. I just wish there was, more union guys here instead of the people that are doing the work,
Well, here's the thing. It used to be a big, back in the, way before we were born, it was a huge union factory. It was all kinds of manufacturing going on. And, of course, a lot of that has taken off. But it is great to see the neighborhoods really, build up again. Of course, we always support more union labor, but it is fantastic to see the rebirth of the community. Now, let's talk about some of your programs, Michael. Some of the things that you provide discounts to union members, I think police, fire, and a couple more. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we offer discounts for certain occupations, teachers, nurses, police, firemen, doctors, engineers. I'm pushing to try to get union discounts, and the only reason I say that is because union people do 4 or 5 years of apprenticeship, so that's cool. And what I'm trying to talk to my managers about is saying, hey, listen, what's the difference between an engineer and, a carpenter or a plumber? Like, they do schooling too, and they're skilled at their trade, so can we try to push for this? So as of now, it hasn't been offered to carpenters or roofers or plumbers or anything like that, but I am pushing for that to try to make that happen for union workers.
No, I mean, you know, first of all, firemen and police are, they're union workers, so you are providing an awesome service to them and teachers as well. I think that if I'm correct, I believe you give some discounts to teachers as well.
Right. We can offer anywhere from like 10% to 15% discounts on your auto, homeowner's insurance. And, you know, also if you combine the multi policies, you would get a discount with life insurance, that type of thing.
Well, one of the things that, you know, we do here is we promote, you know, and introduce, you know, cutting edge businesses, professional service providers like yourself, to the vast labor community in Philadelphia. And certainly, you know, we're a voice to all of the labor unions, the building trades, and you know, all the 150 unions of the Philadelphia Council of LCO. So, you know, there's 150,000 people and families out there, and who would probably love to have an opportunity at a preferred provider. Certainly, we would love to be able to you know, have an opportunity for as well as the firefighters and the police and the teachers. And the engineers, the opportunity to introduce your products to them. If that's the opportunity and when that's the opportunity, what type of service, you know, do you provide? What things do you commit to your patrons that show a commitment to them?
I feel that I'm a 24-hour agent, meaning everyone that has insurance with me has my cell phone. So no matter what the hours are on the door, you have my cell phone. Give me a call. If there's a claim, God forbid, you know, give me a call. We'll figure out something to try to get the people out there to take care of you. But I want people to have access to me at all times, because sometimes you can get an overnight service and they might be out in Missouri, have no idea anything about Philadelphia. I'd rather them call me. I can guide them, give them my opinion what to do, and just the customer service, the building relationships, that's my goal, to build relationships in the community. And then eventually, if I insure you, maybe I can insure your kids and then your grandkids, things like that.
Now, tell me a little bit about the potential of maybe starting a program for, you know, expanded to all the unions in Philadelphia.
I mean, what I would like to do, my dad is a retired carpenter. I have an uncle who's an active plumber. I have cousins that are electricians. You know, my sister's a cop. So I just feel everyone deserves some type of discount if they're providing the services, you know, cops, firemen, all that stuff. But also the people that are building, you know, the houses we live in, the hospitals, things like that, I would, you know, be happy to go over their policies, talk to them. If I can't beat the rate that they're currently paying, you know what? I'll refer them to somebody that can. That's my goal. I would love the business, but if I can't get it, at least I can help you out. Maybe down the road I'll get your business later on. But the goal is to try to help whoever comes and needs advice or any opinions or answers on their insurance.
Now, Michael, if people want to get in touch with you, and hopefully we're going to have you as a preferred partner soon, so they'll be able to go to phillylabor.com. But until that time, tell me how people would get in touch with you.
I mean, you can reach me at my office number at 267-428-1655.
Tell me where what's the location again of the office?
My office is located at 601 Belgrade Street.
That's Belgrade.
Belgrade and Montgomery, right down the street from the 26th District.
Well, listen, first of all, we appreciate your time and your commitment to labor. We had talked earlier, you have a plethora of family members and friends that are in labor unions, and you know, that's, you know, where your commitment and your passion comes from in regards to helping union families. We appreciate your time. We want to thank you for being on the show. And, of course, we look forward to making you a part of Today in Philly Labor. That's Michael Primavera of Farmers Insurance. Thanks so much, Michael.
Hey, thank you guys very much. I appreciate the opportunity, and I will talk to you soon.
You got it, pal. Thanks so much.
Good
stuff.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Good stuff from Mike Gold Primavera. Thanks very much for being a part of the program today. Thanks for being a real guy. Certainly sounds like just a real guy.
Hey, well,
you know,
listen,
somebody that you can bump into on the corner and just have a conversation with. It's all about being real, man. Doing business is all about being real and making things happen. And that's what I love the most about what we do. It's connecting with people who are real. And in his particular case, he's coming up on his 2-year anniversary. In our particular case with the radio show, we're through our 2-year anniversary and moving into year 3. Just all good stuff.
Well, here's the thing. What I liked about Michael, and it's, you know, he's talking about staying, you know, giving back to the neighborhood that he brought up, that he was brought up in. And Johnny Doc and I say it all the time. The best way to never forget where you're to come from is to never leave. And so to me, that's the heart and soul of Philadelphia. It's the heart and soul of labor. So appreciate Michael Primavera for being on the show. And certainly he resembles what we the passion that we show with our neighborhoods and with our union members.
Our final break of the 2-hour show today has reached or is upon us. When we come back, some closing remarks as Jay Doc will jump up on the soapbox for a few minutes and we'll go around the Delaware Valley with the latest news. Stay with us, everyone.
Guess who's looking to invest $1 billion in Philadelphia? IBEW Local 98. One of Local 98's first investments was in the Commonwealth, a premier residence in the historic Commonwealth Title and Trust Building of 1902. Local 98 also has a 51% ownership in 2116 Chestnut, luxury high-rise apartments that were built by unions on time and on budget. And IBEW Local 98 is also looking to invest in the redevelopment of Girard Square at 12th and Market, which is slated to be reborn as a 5-story retail destination with 2 much-needed hotels and a few state-of-the-art digital billboards. Looking forward, Local 98 is seeking to invest in a new data center, a small power plant, and the growing Navy Yard.
Hi, this is John Doherty, business manager of Local 98. We live in this city and invest in it because Philly deserves top-quality union projects built by residents who pay their taxes.
With over half a century of support for labor union organizations, M&T Bank wants you to know what they can do for you. Are you a building and construction trade union in the Philadelphia area? If so, contact M&T Bank. Are you an industrial union or public service employee union in the Philadelphia area? If so, contact M&T Bank. Are you part of an apprentice training program or perhaps a union benefit funds office? If so, contact M&T Bank. To learn more about their full line of financial services that are tailored for labor union organizations just like yours, contact Bill Wecklock at 610-520-8459. M&T Bank, understanding what's important to the labor union community.
IBEW Local Union 126 will always be there for our members, our contractors, and our clients when Mother Nature deals a harsh dose of bad weather. IBEW Local Union 126 was there and will always be there, helping our neighbors in time of need. Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and support the IBEW Local Union 126. They provide service and support that is needed and deserved. IBEW Local 126. Visit them on the web at IBEWLU126.com.
Local Union 126 IBEW serves Pennsylvania, Delaware, and the Eastern Shore of Maryland electrical line construction and maintenance industry first and foremost by representing and providing local signatory contractors with a trained workforce in our geographic area. Whether it's a high-rise commercial building, a residential development, or an industrial project, the highly skilled workforce of sheet metal workers Local 19 get the job done right and on time the first time. From heating, ventilating, and air conditioning to the installation and fabrication of all sheet metal products to providing service technicians for commercial, industrial, and residential HVAC needs, Local 19 members are the highest skilled and best trained craftsmen in the industry who are committed to providing their signatory contractors and end users with maximum results. Serving 23 counties throughout Pennsylvania as well as New Jersey and Delaware, sheet metal workers Local 19 are proud members of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council.
Getting hurt on the job can mean broken dreams, fractured hopes, shattered lives.
Turn to Pond Lee Hockey, the workers' compensation law firm. They'll take on the insurance companies and employers, reverse the wrongs, and put your life back together again. Pond Lee Hockey. Call 800-568-7500. That's 800-568-7500.
People are hurting right now all over the place, but it is absolutely ridiculous that we can live in this town and one out of four people can be hungry every day. And that just drives me crazy. And I'm going to do something about it.
I was bruised and battered. I couldn't tell what I felt. I was unrecognizable to myself. Saw my reflection in the window. Didn't know my own face. Oh, brother, you're gonna leave me wasting away on the streets of Philadelphia.
One of the great labor leaders, John Dougherty, with a very profound statement coming out of that last commercial break. Don't forget, a reminder, the 28th annual Tri-State Labor Day Parade and Family Celebration is close now, Monday, September 7th, Labor Day. The gathering will begin down at our friends down at the Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, right down on Columbus Boulevard at the Union Hall, 1301 South Columbus Boulevard is the actual address. 8:30 a.m. is when the gathering will take place. 9:15, the rally will get underway, and then at 10 o'clock, the parade and the procession to Penn's Landing Great Plaza will occur or begin at 10, and then that will all be followed by an 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. celebration with food, refreshments, kids' activities, crafts, and a lot of live music, and get down and certainly see our gracious host, Pat Iding, who will be part of that event as he is every year, and as Pat famously says, he showed up for a cup of coffee and he's still hanging around however many years later.
Thank God for that.
All good stuff that coming up, the 28th annual Tri-State Labor Day parade, and that is on Monday the 7th.
You know, Joe, getting back real quickly on Michael Primavera, one thing we didn't discuss and I wanted to mention, it's definitely noteworthy, is you know, you're talking about a salt of the earth guy with a company and an agency who stayed in the neighborhood, a North Catholic guy, but also somebody who does a donation to the Philadelphia Police Department Survivor Fund for every policy he writes, and just he's already made a nice contribution, is committed to giving back and making a difference and providing a great product and service. So kudos to Michael Primavera of Farmers Insurance, because I missed that in the actual interview, and it's a big, really big part of a big thing that tells you a little bit about Michael and what he does. So that's fantastic.
You want to have a good experience, it all comes down to who you invite to your dinner table. Put Michael Primavera on the on the guest list the next time you're having dinner. Real nice guy, and glad to have him join us and be part of the program.
A couple things, you know, as we roll out, some news items that we didn't get a chance to discuss. The National Labor Relations Board says Northwestern football players cannot form a union. This week, the Northwestern football players were told that they can't form the union, and it was a unanimously dismissed. Their petition was, So at the end of the day, the NLRB said it could not assert jurisdiction due to the nature and structure of the FBS. The board acknowledged it just didn't have a jurisdiction over state schools, which constitutes over 85% of the college football programs. And Northwestern's a private school, so they would have been eligible. The labor secretary, Thomas Perez, says the book is still open, on the issue. So it's not over, but certainly was a blow to the effort by the Northwestern football team. Let's jump on to the Staples campaign. A Philadelphia vet, 89 years old, joined the Staples campaign. Guy was walking out of Staples, and there was a group of activists from Philadelphia, PA area local, where they were handing out flyers. The guy who saw what was going on right away, 89 years old, said that the post office, United States Post Office, is the biggest employer of the veterans. And so it was a great show of solidarity there. Certainly fantastic to hear that people are jumping on board and supporting the United States Postal workers. Let's talk about Governor Rendell and endorsed Kenny for Philadelphia mayor. So that's a nice additional endorsement. You know, it doesn't seem like it's that important right now because, you know, he's likely to win. But everything counts. We take nothing for granted. So that's a big deal. We have our union-made shopping, Labor Day shopping list. Go to AFLCIO.org. Get all your union, union-made products and, you know, for your Labor Day celebration. And, that's about it, Krause. We've had a busy day and a busy week in labor. And, obviously we look forward to coming back next week.
Our guests from the first hour, Joanna McClinton and Danny Grace. We thank them both for being a part of the live broadcast, today, both checking in, with us to be a part of Today in Philly Labor from hour number two. We thank, Karen Hunt, who was the president of the Pennsylvania State Chapter of the National Organization for Women, along with Kathy Black, who was in the studio. It was great to have Kathy in the studio as well. Our gracious host, Pat Iding, was here for hour number one, and he had a special guest in the studio, Bianca Orozco, who was part
was awesome.
Of the first hour, living a great day today. So well done, Bianca. We'll send you some pictures of your time here in the studio. And, of course, Mike Primavera bringing our show to a close in the 92nd minute of the broadcast as Mike Primavera from Farmers Insurance joined us to bring us to a close. So that brings to a close this week's edition of the Today in Philly Labor Show. We thank our friends at M&T Bank. Thank you very much. And we look forward to our next live broadcast 1 week from today on Wednesday, always on a Wednesday, always noon to two. So on behalf of our gracious host, Pat Iding, for Jay Doc and for Tony behind the glass, who makes it all happen, I'm Joe Krause. We'll see you next time. Gonna leave me wasting away on the streets of fear.